Today's guest, Chester Elton, talking about his brand new book, The Best Team Wins, best-selling author. He's one of the leading voices in leadership management here in corporate America, if you will. Now, actually, I came across a video of yours on YouTube, and you said something that was pretty interesting, and it kind of got me thinking. I wanted to mention it to you, talk to you about it. Life-work balance. If I got you right, is it really possible, or does it even exist anymore?
Yeah, I don't think so. I really don't. You look at people that are extraordinary. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's your favorite athlete or business hero or musician. I don't think their life was in balance. You know, the reason they're so good at what they do is it's out of balance. I prefer to talk about work-life harmony. Mm. You know, can you find harmony? Ever since the smartphone got really smart, you know, nobody works 9 to 5. You just don't. So there isn't balance. I think you can find harmony, and I think that's really what, not just millennials, I think we're all looking for that. You know, where we have meaningful work that's really engaging, and yet we've got time. You know, for family and friends and those things that are near and dear to our hearts. And that's, you know, to me, well, you call it a balancing act for work-life balance. I really do think it's we're looking for that harmony. After years of doing this, I really do believe work is life and life is work. And that's where this generation, I think, really is changing the landscape of work, where what I do does impact my community. It does impact the environment. It does impact, you know, social justice, whatever it might be.
Right, right.
And I'm also creating great products and services. And we're, you know, I think that's a great message for all of us. Is we stay in business. We do what we do to get paid so that we can continue to contribute to charities and make a difference in the world. I think it makes perfect sense, and I love the passion and the drive of the younger generations that come in. It's entirely appropriate.
Well, and again, because I know there's, I mean, I've spoken to them. I know you've spoken to them. You know, managers, whether they are boomers or Gen Xers, who are frustrated with millennials. And, you know, I certainly don't want this. No, I know you don't want to be a bashing of millennials, but, you know, how do we understand them to kind of, you know, isolate the frustration, but better yet harness what they bring to the table? And certainly on the technological perspective and the creative perspective, they could bring a heck of a lot. I just have to imagine that, you know?
Oh, sure. And listen, that's on the manager. It really is.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've got tremendous talent here. If you aren't harnessing, I'll give you some, you know, we did some wonderful work with the Conference Board in New York. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a nonprofit, and they look at all kinds of, you know, environmental, you know, cultural statistics. And, you know, most employees, get this, less than 30% understand the job that they took or what their responsibilities are. I mean, think about that. I mean, I recruited you. I took the job. I mean, I may have a vague idea, and then I get to work. And on day one, I'm understanding about 30% what my responsibilities are. That's bad enough. You can say, well, day one, you know, there's a lot of things you got to learn. So fine. 6 months later, it's just barely over 50%.
Well, you spoke about the importance of onboarding. And having it as an ongoing, talk about that a little bit. A lot of companies onboarding is you sign off the employee handbook kind of thing, and you sign some health insurance forms, and then here you go, here's your desk. And that's not too much of an exaggeration, to be honest.
No, it's not. And to your point, here's your username and password.
Yes,
right. I mean, now you're going to go through pages and pages. And make sure you check all the boxes and sign it. And that's pretty much going to be your first day.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So I was down in Atlanta with an executive group, a bunch of CHROs, and it was fascinating. So we said, share with me some of your best practices of onboarding. And one of the healthcare groups there said, we want your first day at work with us to be one of your top 10 most memorable moments in your life. Think about that.
Wow. Wow.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, given that, you know, when you get married, when your children are born, they don't want to, you know, they know they have no shot at number one.
Sure. Right.
If you can crack the top 10, So they started to brainstorm around that. Now, I know this is completely over the top. You always go to extremes to prove a point, mm-hmm. right? They actually welcome you on your first day at work like you are a rock star. They literally roll out a red carpet. They usher you up. They give you your ID and mm-hmm. stuff. People cheer for you. They introduce you to the CEO and the whole bit. I mean, it's your day, baby. It's your first day, and we don't want you to forget it. And we're going to make it the most positive day you've probably ever had in the workplace. Well, what do you think their retention rate looks like? I mean, it looks great because the fact is that's not just day one. This is the idea of like, look, these are really good people. They're cheering for me. I'm joining an amazing team, and this is how they welcome me on day one. Well, that's a big part of it. We call it speed to productivity. You know, are you hiring carefully? For the very reason we talked about in this particular generation, they're very mobile. If you're only going to have them for, let's say, 2 years.
Right.
Boy, I want that 2 years while you're here to be really productive. I want you to be highly engaged. I want you to give me your best ideas. And then if you leave after 2 years, go, great, listen, wish you well. And by the way, you're welcome to come back anytime. So this idea of the first day, how important that is. The second thing is assigning a mentor. Mm-hmm. Have you got somebody that is going to show you around? Simple things like, this is the best place to park. Where do you live? This is the best way to commute. You know, if you've got questions about your dental plan, or you got questions about how you submit your expense reports or something, you've got somebody that you can go to and ask all those stupid questions, right? And not feel stupid that you wouldn't do necessarily if you didn't have a go-to person. You know, Danaher is an amazing company. Returns. Not many people know about them, but
right.
over the last 10 years, if you bought their stocks, trust me, you're happy.
You did well.
And what they do on day one, listen to this. The manager sits you down, they go over stuff, they make it very engaging and very welcoming. Says, look, I'm going to introduce you to five people you need to know to get things done here at Danaher. And now they're expecting you. I call them up, line up an appointment, go see one a day, and there's somebody in research. There's somebody in marketing. There's somebody in accounting. There's somebody in sales, whatever it might be, wherever you are. Five people in different departments that you need to know to get things done. And the message is, wow, you know, I'm going to be getting things done. They trust me with these relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other thing I love about it is it breaks down silos. You know, who do I talk to in accounting? Oh, I already know who to talk to in accounting. And I'm not afraid to go to accounting because they're not siloed. I know Sarah in accounting. You know, I know Tom in marketing. And from day one, you have relationships not only on your team because you've got a mentor. You've got relationships in other departments. Those simple little things aren't really that little. You know, they're brilliant.
You know, as I'm listening to this, and this is the Profit Express, today's guest, Chester Elton, we're talking up his brand new book, The Best Team Wins. And I'm not minimizing your message, but what strikes me about the message throughout the book and what we're talking about today is so much of it, like you said, goes back to, you know, the psychological safety. Be nice. So many of these things that are not complicated often don't cost a whole lot of money or demand a whole lot of resources for the most part, but we underestimate them or we just diminish or don't consider their real impact. But that, to me, is the great news about all of this.
Sure. There's a phrase I love and say, look, this is common sense. it's just uncommonly practiced.
Right.
Right.
I love it.
Now, let me share a really great story.
Yeah, I love great stories.
We get to meet amazing executives literally all over the world.
Sure. And
one of my favorites is a guy named Bill Manning. He's the president of Toronto FC. It's the MLS soccer team in Toronto, Canada. And Toronto recruited him from Real Salt Lake, where he built an amazing team and an amazing culture. They'd gone to the MLS Cup twice. They lost the first year to LA and won the second. So Toronto taps him to come up because they are a really rabid fan base, but they'd never made the playoffs. So it was interesting. I started to talk to Bill about his progress. Well, the first year he was there, they did make the playoffs. The second year they made it to the finals, and last year they won it. And they it's known as the greatest single season in MLS history. They had the best record. They had the best goal differential. They won the Supporters Shield, which is the best regular season. They won the Canada Cup tournament, and they won the MLS Cup. And as I'm talking to him, he talks to me about all this stuff. And I said, Bill, it's not lost on me how many times you said the little things, the little things.
Right.
And I said, expound on that. And he says, oh, yeah. He says, listen, it's always the little things. He said, everybody does the big things. You have to do the big things. The difference between good and extraordinary is always going to be the little things. And I thought, wow, that's gold. You know, you say, look, it doesn't take a lot of resources. It does take some time.
Sure, sure.
It's kind of common sense. And if you start doing a lot of those little things, you get big results. Why? Because the message is, I care about you. I want you to succeed. I'm going to give you my time.
Right.
I'm going to put you in a situation where you're passionate about what you're doing. You're going to succeed. And that's what builds great teams. It's always the little things.
You know,
genius.
What? I love that. And it's going to bring me to another story in the book. Again, today's guest, Chester Elton. We're discussing his brand new book, The Best Team Wins. And, of course, he's one of the leading voices in leadership here in America, best-selling author as well. One story I found, we'll stay on the sports topic, that I found great. If you're an NBA fan, the Philadelphia 76ers. They had a horrible stretch of, like, I think from 2014 to 2017, one of the worst teams in the NBA. Okay, they're turning around now. But what I found amazing, so they've got a horrible team, but yet their sales office was setting records for sales, you know, for tickets. I'm thinking, how are they selling tickets to such a horrible team? Amazing.
Exactly.
How did they tell that story? How did they do that?
Anybody can sell tickets to the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Golden State Warriors. In fact, it's really interesting. It's not uncommon. You know, when Cleveland got LeBron back, do you know they basically fired all their salespeople? Because they said, you know, what do we, I mean,
right.
We don't have enough seats in the arena, right?
Right.
For
we don't
people
need
that
you.
Want to
yeah.
Come You flip that over. By the way, that time period you talked about, not only did they have the worst record in the NBA, it was one of the worst winning percentages in the history of professional sports. not just basketball. You think it was. So how did they do it? And this is another one of my business heroes, Scott O'Neill, a great guy, where he said, look, first you have to trust the process that over time we are going to build a great team. And you're seeing it this year. They're third in the conference. They're right behind Cleveland. When they had the worst record in the NBA last year, talk about a turnaround.
Right.
So how did they sell all those tickets? They delved deep and they said, okay, well, we've really got to focus on the customer. So we're going to put the best product we can on the floor. Trust the process. We're going to play hard. You know, we're going to put on a great show. We're not going to win many games, but man, we're going to give it all we got. And that's what you want to see as a fan. You know, you want to see effort. So we got that. This is what they did. They said, we'll give you access. As a fan, what do you want? You want access. Access to what? You want access to the players. You want access to information. You want to feel like you're really part of the team.
Yep.
And so they did all kinds of interesting things. They built a beautiful practice facility across the river in Camden, New Jersey. And if you're a season ticket holder, they'll invite you to come to practice. Like, how cool is that?
Okay.
Right? And then, you know, before the game, if you're a season ticket holder, they'll take you down onto the floor so you can watch the warm-ups. Now, you know, I'm a big sports fan, and you watch NBA games and stuff, and they're great. You really have no idea how skilled and how big those players are until you go courtside.
Right.
And you go
courtside,
and you go, oh, my God.
Right, right, yep.
I didn't know that you could make a human that big, right? So access. Now, you got to get everybody to buy in.
Right.
So, you know, it's not just the sales guys and the concession guys, you know, keeping the stadium clean. That's all very important. And again, little things, very important. The coach comes up, Coach Brown comes up, and he says, you know what? I've got time before the game starts. What do you think of this idea? You know, the players go out and they warm up and they stretch. And then they come in, and the coach gives them the strategy for the game. right? This is going to be our, this is how we're going to play LeBron. This is our defense. And then they go out and they warm up for about another 20 minutes and then they tip off. And the coach says, you know, that warm up, I got nothing to do, really. I mean, we've done it all. What if you were to bring in a handful of season ticket holders once the players leave and I outlined the game to them? How cool is that?
Oh, wow. Wow, wow.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
You know, now look, don't tell everybody, right? And you say, hey, here's what they're going to do. Here's the rotation. Here's how they're going to guard so-and-so. Here's who they're bringing in off the bench. Well, win, lose, or draw, do you want to go to that game?
Oh, talk about being on the inner circle on that. Wow.
Oh. Again, access to information, access to the players, access to... And I'm telling you, I think 3 years in a row, on day one of season ticket sales, they've set the record. The Philadelphia 76ers. Who'd have thunk it, right?
That was... I mean, listen... You know the power of stories. That was one of my favorite stories in the book, obviously. It just blew my mind. And again, today's guest, Chester Elton, talking about his new book, The Best Team Wins. I mean, there's so many ways we could go about this. I mean, there's so much to talk about. We don't have enough time. But there's been a lot said, a lot written about the topic of why. And I really want to talk to you about this. You know, and you mentioned in the book, of course, you know, why do we exist? Why do we do what we do? So why, my question to you, Chester, why is why so important in developing a team?
Well, you know, we talk about the fact that it's critical to know what you do and how you do it. The breakthrough comes in why do we do it? And it speaks back to all these things that we've discussed about, am I making a difference? Do I have impact? Am I learning? Am I growing? Am I developing? All those things are so critical. And that's the leader's responsibility to really get everybody in the team buying in. This is why we do it. And the new generation wants to know why. You know, my generation, I don't think we really cared so much about the why.
No.
You know, we were here to work hard and get a paycheck and support our families and hopefully get promoted at some point. You know, it was
right.
It was very much, very much command and control. You know, the new workplace, out of necessity, is much more collaborative. You know, I want to crowdsource stuff. I want to get people's opinions involved, and not just tell me stuff, but tell me why. You give me the why, and I'll walk on hot coals for you. I'll walk through, you know, I'll break through brick walls if I know the why. If I don't, then I'm just punching the clock and. Yeah, you'll get my body, maybe my mind, but certainly not my heart.
Mm. Well, as you said earlier, you know, good managers are working to a certain level. It's the great managers who get the heart.
Exactly.
You know, and they have to choose to do the things that will enable them to engage, especially the millennials. Listen, this has been a great conversation, Chester. Let me ask you, you know, you have the manager, the owner listening. We've shared a lot of great ideas. Okay, there's a lot of very good news. Okay, so it's not all challenging and daunting, and it's a choice, obviously. But if you could have, you know, one takeaway for the manager, the owner listening to you right now, I know it's a tough question. beyond reading your book is the takeaway. What would it be in managing the diverse workforce?
Sure. I'll tell you what. My biggest takeaway from the research, and I found it quite pleasant actually. Is that really the exceptional, the extraordinary team leaders and leaders in general, right? Mm-hmm. Had really good soft skills.
Yeah. Okay.
And I know you know our listeners know what that means.
Yep.
You know, technically I know what I'm doing. I've been doing it for maybe a long time. I've even got the letters after my name to prove it. Right. The education and the experience. The difference was in the soft skills. I love, you know, the story we kick off the book is about the International Space Station and Chris Hadfield. Technically proficient, smartest guys on the planet that we put up into space. And they exceeded every goal that they had, not only because they were technically proficient, but because they had one unwritten rule, and you'll remember what it was, that every astronaut had to perform one random act of kindness for every other astronaut. Now, think about your workplace. You know, if I'm doing this, and like you say, not big things. Let me help you with that sale. Mm-hmm. Let me help you prep for this call. Let me you know, give you some tips on the latest information or technology. You know, in the space station, it was let me clean up after you. I'll cook dinner. Let me help you with the calculations. Those little messages, and by the way, it was a random act of kindness. Let's not forget, yeah. Every day.
Yeah. Consistency.
The message is this. You're on my team. I'm cheering for you. I got your back. I'm here for you. And very not so subtly is, I love you. I care about you.
Wow.
Well, who doesn't want to be on that team? So the one takeaway I'd love your listeners to take away is that, yeah, work hard on being knowledgeable about what you do, your products and services. If you concentrate on your soft skills, again, back to the Aristotle study, be nice, be kind, be considerate, be engaged with your people, and random acts of kindness, not only will you get more productivity, you know what? You'll feel better about yourself. Your people feel better about yourself. You'll go home happy. And my favorite data point of everything we looked at was this tip. When you're happy at work and engaged at work, you're 150% more likely to be happy and engaged in your personal life. And isn't that a great message to end on?
You're blowing some minds today, Chester. I'm telling you, this is great, great read. Thank you for sharing some time today. It really is, from my opinion, a must read for those owners and managers and supervisors out there. Thanks so much for the conversation. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much. You know, this is engaging for me. You ask brilliant questions. I appreciate the call.
Wait,
you
brilliant.
Can call me
wow.
Anytime.
Thank you very much. You got it, Chester. And this is the Profit Express.